going to go to Acts chapter 1 today. Acts chapter 1. And the topic we're going to look at today is the importance of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 of Acts 1, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. But when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So he told them that they were going to receive power. Now again, you have to ask the question, in the Gospels, when the apostles were walking with Jesus Christ, did they have power? Didn't they have power? Did they raise the dead? Did they heal lepers? You know, all these things, cast out spirits, and they did a bunch of things. So when Jesus Christ said, "You shall receive power," something greater was coming, right? So it was going to be greater than what they already had. What they had was pretty good, right? And they were going to get something greater. "You're going to receive power," he told them. Told them to wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave. Hang out there for a bit. In Luke chapter 24, we have to take what the Word of God says and we have to believe it, literally. There can be no questioning what the Word of God says. When the Word says you're going to receive power, then that is what they received. Luke 24:49. Again, Jesus talking about the same time. He says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye," and look, Jesus Christ said, "I send it," he was going to send it, "but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Right? So again, he told them they were going to get power from on high. The promise of my Father. This was going to happen to them. Mark chapter 16, talking about the same time. Mark 16, verse 14. "Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." So he told them another thing that was going to happen is they were going to speak with new tongues. Now, people have said, well, that means they got a new vocabulary and they were no longer negative, they were positive. Well, that's not what the word says, right? The word new there is kainos, which is a word that means recently made, fresh, unused, unworn. It's used of other places in the Bible, of the New Testament, the new heavens and new earth. These weren't revamped heavens and earth, not a revamp. It was entirely new. It had nothing to do with their old tongue. It was a new one, completely new. So there's the Greek does not hold out what people say about it. Let's go to John chapter 16. It is God who chose speaking in tongues as something that he wanted to mark out the start of the church of the body of Christ. God chose, that was his privilege. God decided that he was going to mark that out with the manifestation of speaking in tongues. Why did he do that? Why don't you ask him? Right? The word of God says that's what he did. Right? We take the word of God for what it says. The word says that's what he did. Great, wonderful. I'm so glad I did that. I still remember the first time I spoke in tongues. I mean, you know, it's an unbelievable thing that you can actually just speak another language, an entirely new language, without having studied it in school, right? Or anywhere else. You know, it's an entirely new language. Now that is a miracle, right? Now, Patrick was there when I first spoke in tongues. He actually taught me how to speak in tongues, right? You know? So that... The fact that God, the truth that God chose that to mark out the beginning of the church, that's his prerogative. And God did that. I'm so blessed he did that, right? It had never happened before. We know that Adam and Eve had originally lost spirit in the Garden of Eden. And then the entire Bible talks about the restoration of that spirit. And then God chose tongues, the manifestation of speaking in tongues, to mark out all the accomplished work, the completion of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ having been done, completed. And then he said, this is what's going to happen, right? And you sit down and just think about that for a minute. You can just so easily just speak in tongues, right? It's just something you do. And yet look what it meant to God. All that God had put into that, and he marked it out with tongues. And yet people still frown on it, don't they? They make fun of it. They say, oh, that's gibberish, that's foolishness. Well, when people say that, they're not criticizing you or me. They are laying the blame right at God's feet, because God is the one who did it, right? So if they want to take it up with somebody, they can take it up with God. For us, we're just thankful that we've got something like that. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. Now, in the Old Testament, God had given spirit at times, right? And we know that. It says that when people in the Old Testament had spirit upon them, they were able to prophesy. They were able to receive revelation from God. And they were able to do, to walk with God via that spirit. And that's the power that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles when they were walking with him. And yet in Acts, he says, you're going to receive power, right? You see how what Jesus Christ had accomplished was leading to something that was so much greater. And if you read the Old Testament, there's some pretty incredible things people did walking by the Spirit that was upon them. Yes? So think about what you have. Think about the Spirit that you have right now and what that power means. Just sit down for a minute and think about it. The Bible says, and we're going to read it in a minute, it is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the power that lives within you, right? In John chapter 16, verse 5, it says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? I guess by this time they were not going to bother asking questions anymore, because every time they asked a question, He helped them remove their foot from their mouth, right? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you or profitable for you that I go away. Jesus Christ telling them, it is necessary or profitable for you that I go away. Why? For if I go not, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Isn't that exactly what we read before? Who was sending it? Jesus Christ was going to send it. And it makes sense. If he can't leave, he can't send it, right? So he told them, the Comforter. So this is another term used for the Spirit is the Comforter. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Not much has changed. Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, or it, the Spirit of truth is come, It will guide you into all truth, for it shall not speak from itself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That is the Spirit that you have. It will teach you. It will guide you. When you read God's Word, you got to believe that God works in you to show you understanding of His Word. When you read those pages, the black and white and red, sometimes. You got to cover that case, right? When you read those words, right, you got to believe that God works in you to show you things, to help you get understanding. One of the greatest keys that I know to understand God's Word, and here it is, simple. It's really complicated, I should say, very complicated. Read, right? Read, 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 read. Listen, think about it, read it, read it, read it, and allow God to give you understanding. Who's the best teacher you'll ever get? Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? It will guide you into the all truth. It will show you things to come, right? Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. Now, you got to ask the question. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, didn't he deliver an amazing teaching? Where did that come from? Right? Not just once, multiple times. And Paul the Apostle at Athens, or wherever he spoke, look what he said. In the household of Cornelius when Peter went there, look what he said. He did not sit down and prepare that stuff. Right? God worked in him. It was God showing him, via the Spirit, things to come. Leading him into the all truth, perceiving, oh, I believe that God is no respecter of persons. This is, you know, everybody who serves him is blessed and receives this, all these things. Where did those people learn those things from? Right? Things haven't changed. The Spirit you have is the same. It hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten less powerful. It's the same Spirit. Right? And every time you speak in tongues, every single time, remember what that signifies as the power that works within you. Right? Remember that. Look at Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
Acts chapter 2.
Speaking.
Verse 1. See, when Jesus Christ said, I will send them to you, and it cannot come until I go, that's pretty clear that the Spirit they had when he was with them was not the same, right? Because he hadn't sent it yet. Right? In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Acts chapter 2, not chapter 1, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the 12 apostles. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. That tongues it's talking about is not the speaking in tongues. That was just a miraculous vision that came, in particularly in that one instance when they spoke in tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit God gave them utterance. And this is the first time. So when they did that, the first time, that was the full proof that all that Jesus Christ had accomplished had been done. Holy Spirit had been restored in man. And from now on, anybody, anytime they confess Jesus as Lord, would be able to speak in tongues and show the completed work of Jesus Christ every time that they spoke in tongues. Let's read on. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, not all these which speak Galileans. And how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And Weymouth translates this as, Yet we all alike hear these Galileans speaking in our own language about the wonderful things which God has done. Right? When you speak in tongues, you speak the wonderful works of God, the wonderful things that God has done. When you're speaking in tongues, that's what you're saying. You know, in the Old Testament, they struggle sometimes. I think they struggle a little bit when they tried to praise God. You know, maybe they danced like David did, or maybe they threw up holy hands. I don't know, whatever they did, you know. And that's great. Praise was great. And we have within us, born within us, a Holy Spirit by which we can praise Him perfectly. I don't know what I'm saying, right? But I know the Bible tells me that when I speak in tongues, one of the things is I speak about the wonderful things God has done. And I don't have to, there's no selfishness in it. There's nothing. It's just God working in you, will and do His good pleasure. Right? What perfect praise. I bet you David would have killed to have that. Right? And it's true, because he said he saw the coming of the Lord. Because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He knew what was coming, but you know the fullness of it. Right? And here God's giving us details. Acts 2:22. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, this is the teaching that Peter did there. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you all you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, here it is, speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me, before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ saw no corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Do you see why speaking in tongues is proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ told them, if I don't go away, I can't send them on to you. But when I'm gone, I will send you the promise of my Father. Here we read about David saying, someday God is going to raise the Messiah from the dead. Jesus Christ said, now that he was raised, he received the Holy Spirit of the Father and then shed forth that which God had given to him. Every time you speak in tongues, you witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if God hadn't gotten him up, you wouldn't receive the Spirit by which you can speak in tongues. You wouldn't. Every time you speak in tongues, you witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You witness that his word is true. You know, when Paul was in trouble there, he said, you know, I know God delivered me in the past, has delivered me now, and will deliver me in the future. Because he said, we trust in the living God which raiseth the dead. See, if God can do that, right? Not only do you witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you witness to the fact that everything recorded in God's word is true. When it says, by his stripes we are healed, that is what it means. Right? And if you have a problem believing it, speak in tongues, remind yourself that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, right? Then put your mind back on that promise. Okay, I know he was raised. I know he's at the right hand of God. I know he makes intercession for me. Therefore, by his stripes, I am healed. Right? You can say, he shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever need you have, right? You speak in tongues. You remind yourself, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. There's nothing that he cannot do. And that same power that raised him from the dead resides within you. You see how tongues, just speaking in tongues daily, 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 reminds you of all that God has done for you, right? Look at Acts chapter 10. This is Peter at the household of Cornelius, near the end of his teaching. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And when he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets, every one of them, all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You don't have to, by your own sense knowledge, find ways to magnify God in your life. You can speak in tongues. Speak in tongues magnifies. You know what magnify means? When you see, I can tell you what magnify means. It's when you have a Bible where the writing is too small, and you get a magnifying glass, and you put over it, and all of a sudden it becomes very clear, right? There it is, right? It makes God bigger in your life. You see, it magnifies God in your life, magnifies him. Not only does it praise him and exalt him for all the great things he has done, it doesn't, if you think, sit down and think about it, when you speak in tongues, you're showing witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that is true in the Word, everything in the Word is true. Do you see how it's magnifying God in your life? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. This is one of my personal favorites. Not that that matters to anybody, or to God maybe, but this is my personal favorite. Romans 8:25. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit that we have also helps our infirmity." The word infirmity should be singular. "Helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." I mean, how many times do you say, "I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do." It reminds me in the Old Testament, remember that king? Remember they were all together, they got their children together, and they all stood there and said, "God, we don't know what to do." Right? Which is a good place to get to in life sometimes. Because if in your whole life you always say, "Oh, I know exactly what to do," you're a liar. Right? Here, God says, "Listen, it's clear to me that you guys don't always know what to pray for." That's my paraphrase of that verse, right? "The Spirit helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But, and this is great, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." That verse is shown on billboards everywhere, right? Well, the context is what? What's the context of all things working together good for them to love God? You staying in touch with him by the Spirit, right? Well, I mean, do bad things happen to Christians? Yes they do, right? It happens, right? So, you know, there's not just this blind thinking, well, no matter, since I'm a believer now, everything's cool. No, we serve him, we worship him, and we stay in touch with him. It says here that, you know, like if I was prideful enough to say, well, you know what, I don't really have to speak in tongues because I kind of know what I need, You know what I'm saying? Right? Well, then I'm basically contradicting what the Word of God says. Because God himself said, you don't know what to pray for all the time. Maybe, certain needs we know. But even then, I don't always know the solution, right? I might have a need, but I don't always know what the answer is, right? I may think that I know. I may want a certain answer. I may beg God for that answer. But I don't know. So God says, to me, that is one of the most comforting things there is about tongues. You wake up in the middle of the night where you're a little bit upset, distressed, or even during the day, you go, I don't know why I'm bothered, right? What can you do? Speak in tongues. God says he knows, right? And then, when you do it, you got to believe that he's hearing you. You got to believe that he knows exactly what's required, and you're doing what the Word of God says, and then guess what happens? You can be at peace. To me, it's just a wonderful, wonderful lever of prayer. 1 Corinthians 12. A couple of more verses here. 1 Corinthians 12. So as soon as, anytime you think that you know exactly what to pray for, God says you don't. Always. So. 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You know, what does it mean to speak by the Spirit of God? Right. Well, think about it. What does it mean? It means to, what things can you do that you have because you have the Spirit of God? Right. You can speak in tongues. You can interpret. You can prophesy. You can bring forth word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. You can speak by the Spirit of God in many ways. In none of those ways will you ever curse Jesus Christ. None of them. Now, with the English ones or the language you're speaking, it's kind of obvious, but I think in the Corinthians, the believers were saying when they speak in tongues, you guys are cursing Jesus Christ. Right? Well, here it says, never. You don't speak in tongues or bring forth prophecy or interpretation or all ever curse Jesus Christ when it's from the true God. And it says, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, right, what are you showing? You're showing who's Lord in your life? Jesus Christ. And you're saying it for certain, Jesus is Lord. Many may say, oh, we don't have to speak in tongues. It's gone with the apostles. It finished. Well, that is a contradiction to what the Word of God says, and I don't really care what they say. What does the Word of God say? Right. It always has to come back to the Word of God. If the Word says it, that's the end of it. You can, rationalize or derationalize or irrationalize. That's probably more accurate. All you want, right? But the Word of God says this, and that's the end of the story. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Another wonderful verse. For he that speaketh in a tongue, the word unknown should be scratched out because italicized. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Right? Speaking in tongues is vital to your spiritual growth. Right? If you've ever questioned, why am I not growing? Or how can I get more, how can I see God's word work? How can I, all those questions that come up in Christian's life. Right? Well, the Bible says that when you speak in tongues, you edify. The word edify is like building a house. It's used many times in the Bible about, building up, right? To get stronger, to walk with the Lord. Right, to get stronger and stronger. Here it says edifies you. Edify where? In your ability to walk by the Spirit. Because you certainly don't understand what you're saying. Right? So it's your ability to walk with Him, to walk by the Spirit. The more you speak in tongues, the more built up you are. That's what it says. So if it's another one of those very simple ways, right, to build yourself up. And I think Jude also says that God encourages us in Jude 17 to 20. It encourages us that we should pray daily, building ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. So whether you're speaking in tongues for power, praise, or whatever, the net result, you're being edified, you're being strengthened, you're being built up. Wow. You think speaking in tongues is important? So let me ask you a question then. If you don't speak in tongues, are you getting the benefits of being edified and built up? No, not the benefit that God has assigned to that manifestation. That's what it says. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 14, wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret, or believe that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt lie blessed with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well. So when you're speaking in tongues, we know you don't do it openly in a fellowship like this without interpretation, but you're giving thanks well. Look at all the things that God allows you to do with speaking in tongues. You know, you can, there are many psalms in the Old Testament, but aren't there about thanksgiving to God? Thank the Lord, you know, all there's many, many psalms, one after the other, thanking God and praising God. All that ability God has put into speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues, you can praise God, and you can thank God. You can magnify God. You can speak of His wonderful works. You can pray perfectly. You can recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can prove the resurrection. All these things in that really simple manifestation called speaking in tongues. Thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. And Paul writes, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Right. So there's good, you know, if you had a famous sports figure talk about an underarm deodorant, you would say, hi, here's so-and-so from the Dallas Cowboys talking about, isn't it the best underarm deodorant in the world? And we have Paul the Apostle as the sales spokesperson for speaking in tongues. Hi, I'm Paul the Apostle. I speak in tongues more than y'all. I think we're in good standing considering he wrote by revelation all the revelation that is directed at you and I today. Let's close in Ephesians chapter 6. I don't mean to degrade Paul the Apostle by comparing him to a sports figure. It's purely for illustration only. The views expressed on this telecast are only the views of the establishment, not yours. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You guys know this section here. It's talking about the Word of God and all the ways in which it gives us the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or from on high. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's interesting how God just ends that whole section off by prayer in the Spirit. You know, the armor is not complete without you and me walking by the Spirit of God. In fact, when God says so much about His Word, it's His Word that tells us to speak in tongues. So, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful, simple thing that, you know, for us, not so simple for God, who had to have His Son die in order to make it available. Right? But here you are, you and I, every time we speak in tongues, we can recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ and that all that God has done in His Word is true. Right? And we can enjoy the benefits of it helping our believing to believe and to walk with Him. Right? So that's the importance, some of the importance of speaking in tongues.